Welcome back to the Puma Podcast, where we talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between. I'm Tori, and
this is Puma.
We have Puma.
Yep.
Dr. Puma. So we're in the middle of our We're in our series going over the names of God. This is the first direct name of God. No, last week we talked about the different reasons why God has so many names. What's in a name? What's the point? And this is our first name of God. And yeah, we're talking about Yahweh. So let's dive in.
Yeah, so Yahweh, probably most people probably listening have probably heard of the name Yahweh and know that that's probably a name of God in the Bible. It's a Bible name. It sounds very Bible name-ish.
It does sound, right? It sounds very Bible name-ish.
I mean, not very many Yahwehs in grade school, you know, when I was growing up. So, yeah, so Yahweh, you know, what is that? Yeah, the name Yahweh is one of those names that is so foundational to God and in relationship with his people. So if you, a little history lesson. Should we do a little history?
Yeah, let's do a little history. We're here to learn.
Yeah, history, a little history, okay? So I won't say once upon a time, but at the very beginning, you know, God created Adam and Eve. You know, what everyone knows about the whole sin thing, right? They had kids and they get to Noah, right? Everyone, Noah's story.
Yeah, big flood.
Yeah, after that. And then the Tower of Babel and the nations scatter. And then you get to Genesis chapter 12. Mm-hmm. Genesis chapter 12, God chooses one pagan man. His name was Abram, or we know him as Abraham. Right. And God said, "If you are willing, I will be your God, and you and your descendants will be my people." And in chapter 12, you know, Abraham, you know, basically he's like, "All right, we'll figure this out." And so that was the kind of the birth of God choosing a particular person and a particular lineage through which to bless and really rescue and redeem mankind. And so he was the God of Abraham. He came to Abraham and said, "Hey, you know, I will be your God, and you and your descendants will be my people, and I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and I will give you a particular land, I promise." And so that became known as the Promised Land, right? Well, he had a son. His son's name was Isaac, and God came to Isaac and said the same thing. "I'll be your God, you and your sons will be my people." Isaac had a son, Jacob, and God came to Jacob and said the same thing. "I will be your God, and you and your sons will be my people," and the promises. And so he became known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Jacob had 12 sons and a famine in the land, and so they ended up down in the country of Egypt. And so they were there, that whole story of Joseph and Potiphar and all of that. And God essentially rescued, you know, Jacob and his family, you know, 70-plus people. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And so that's how they ended up down in Egypt. And they were, you know, very successful and well taken care of. Well, over 400 years or so, this family grew from 70 to probably hundreds of thousands, if not million people. Mm. And most are familiar with the story of Moses, right? So after 400 years, the nation of Israel, they were enslaved and they were being persecuted and punished by Pharaoh and by the Egyptians. And they cried out. They said, "You know what? We need a God. There should be some God. Who is our God? We don't even know who he is. All we know is that there was a God. He was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's all they knew. They didn't know his name. They didn't know who he was. All they knew that in their history, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and Jacob. And where were they at?
They were in Egypt.
They were in Egypt, right? In Egypt, were they a religious people?
Yes, every other animal was a god, and every other plant and sun. And
anything that kind of shivered or shaked or was shiny, they would say, "Ooh, there's some kind of cool thing. Let's worship that."
Right. Egypt had loads of gods.
Loads of gods. And, you know, one of the most famous was the sun god, right? Ra. You see that in a lot of movies, right? Mm-hmm. And so all the gods had a name, a particular name, and that name would reference, you know, like the sun or whatever the particular identity of that particular god was.
Gotcha.
So they had all these different gods in Egypt. But here the nation of Israel, and they weren't really a nation yet. They were just a people, a group of people with a common history and ancestry, but they didn't have their particular God. Mm-hmm. And every culture at the time had their cultural gods. So like in the land of Canaan, where they came from, you know, all the different people groups had their particular gods. Every people group had their gods, but here's this group of people down in Egypt, and they are have the same lineage and history. Mm-hmm. All they don't have a personal God. They don't have a God for their people. It was just the God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they didn't know know this God. So they didn't know. And so, but they cried out to whatever God was the God of their ancestors. And they said, "If you, whoever you are, if you are there, we are in misery. Can you help us out?" Well, Moses comes on the scene. God raises up Moses and the whole history of the plagues and that, and they get delivered out of Egypt. But before they do that, Moses, you know, was the prince of Egypt, and the whole story of how he ended up being raised in Pharaoh's household. At about the age of 40, he ends up fleeing Egypt because he killed an Egyptian. And so he is wandering sort of where Israel later on would wander in the wilderness. So he's out there in just the history, you know, finds a wife and becomes kind of a shepherd herding. Does that for about 40 years.
40 years he was a shepherd?
Yeah, for about 40 years.
Wow.
So for about 40 years he's doing that. And one day, in Exodus chapter 3 records this, right? So one day, you know, he's out there and he's like every guy, he sees something on fire. We're like, ooh, right? We got to go check that out, yes. Right? If we don't see fire, we want to make fire. That's just right. Kind of the nature, right? But he sees something on fire, and what is that? It's a bush. Well, that's interesting. What's that? I'm going to go check it out. It goes over there. Well, this bush doesn't burn up. It's just constantly on fire. As the account goes, it is actually, you know, God who is meeting Moses and talking to him. And God says, Moses, I've heard the misery of my people, and I have chosen you to be the one through whom I deliver my people from the hands of Egypt to rescue them. And Moses is like, well, you know what? That's all cool and all. That'd be awesome, but, you know, I'm not sure I'm the dude. God says, no, you are the guy. And so as Moses is trying to find excuses, one of the excuses is, well, you know what? I can't go down to Egypt and tell them, you know, that the God that they're praying to heard their prayer and rescued, because I don't know your name. I don't know who you are. And who am I to say? Because I gotta bring some name back. I just can't see some nameless God, because every God of the time has a name. Every God has a name. Every God for every people has a name. So what should I tell them? And this is what the Lord said, verse 14 of Exodus. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is the name you are to say to Israel. I am has sent me to you. And then God said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This, Yahweh, this is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Hmm. See, now the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has a name.
Wow, the first time.
For the first time with his people, he says, this is my name. And this is where God says, this is my name. And this is the name by which you are to refer to me, or I have to be remembered from generation to generation.
Interesting. So this wasn't just a, you know, for this particular occasion, I want you to know this name. This is forever. I want my special relationship between Israel, myself, this is the name that you should call me by.
Yeah, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, this nameless God, he says, this is my name. Which is interesting because, like we talked about last time, when someone initiates a relationship, they share their name with you. They say, you know, this is who I am. We can have a conversation, we can just be, you know, talking at the store or at, you know, at the ball game or just out and about. But when you voluntarily share your name, you are inviting into a relationship.
Right.
And one of the things that God had said way back with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It says, I will be your God, and you and your descendants will be my people. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob entered what they call a covenant relationship with God, a relationship with the Almighty God, the Creator, the Sovereign. And this relationship was not just a momentary thing. It was a relationship that was meant to last a lifetime. And so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had this personal relationship with God, but their descendants didn't know who he was, and they didn't know his name, and they didn't have interaction with him. And yet he was always watching out for them. He was always caring for them. And now, as the nation is about to be birthed and rescued, they have a God who is named. His name is Yahweh. So the Egyptians have their gods. The Hittites have their gods. The Canaanites have their gods. Now Israel has their God. His name is Yahweh.
Yeah, their singular God.
Their singular God. And so when they want to talk to God or speak about God, they call him Yahweh, which is interesting because Moses goes to Pharaoh, says, hey, our God, the God of my people, want us to go out and worship him. And Pharaoh's like, who's your God? You guys don't have a God. Moses, yeah, his name is Yahweh. And Pharaoh's like, I don't know this Yahweh.
Interesting.
I don't know who this Yahweh is. This Yahweh isn't my God or our God. In fact, he never refers to the God of Israel as Yahweh. It's the God of the nation of Israel, generic, not personal. You see, when God gave his name to Moses and said, this is my name that you were to tell my people, my name by which I am to be remembered and known. One, God was saying, I am a personal God. I'm not some abstract or distant or up in the sky type God. Mm-hmm. I'm not a God that you look for in shiny things or creepy crawling things or just whatever you want to be. I am a real personal God, a God who initiates relationship with his people.
It's interesting. And even too, going, you know, back to Moses and just like the 10 plagues, those are all gods of the Egyptians. And yet Yahweh, right. I mean, Pharaoh says, we don't know this Yahweh. Well, they're about to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's about to smack them upside the head.
Right.
Yeah.
And even challenge their own gods, which is really interesting.
Right. Hmm. Yeah. So God giving his personal name. And it was kind of almost like the family name. Like, this is the name by which his people call him. Those outside the family don't call him that. They call him the God of Israel. But inside the family, we call him Yahweh. You see, so it was this invitation to relationship that God already had with his people, but they didn't realize it. And so they're learning, what does it mean to have a relationship with the God of our ancestors, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? His name is Yahweh. So it was an invitation to relationship, as an invitation from a personal God to his people to be up close and personal, not far and distant. Second, though, with the name Yahweh, he was communicating to them that he's not just a personal God, but he's also a living, real God. You know, he is the eternal God, the self-existing God who always was and is. He is not caused or dependent or created like, quote unquote, the gods of Egypt, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Nile River wasn't always there, but then it was there. So they worshiped the Nile, right?
Yeah.
You know, the animals weren't always there, but then they're, the planets, the moon, the star, all the different things that they worshiped and all the different ideas that they had, all the different gods had contingency to them. They were dependent upon other things.
Right.
Maybe even dependent upon other gods for their existence.
True.
But Yahweh was the uncaused God. He's personal to be related to, and he is living, real, uncaused.
Mm-hmm. So how many times is Yahweh, I mean, it's a big name, right? You said it was given to generations and generations that the Lord wanted this name Yahweh to be passed down. Do you have some thoughts on just the usage of the name in Scripture, on the name Yahweh?
I don't have the number written down. It is used a lot. But interestingly, you know, at the beginning, it's not used like in Genesis chapter 1. It's used after the nation becomes a nation. So it's used throughout when Moses gave the law, and it's used throughout, when the name was given. But before there, it's just God.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of, I've heard it before used, Yahweh is like the nickname of the God, of the universe. Like, this is the personal name that he chooses to be known by. And I don't know if this is true, but I mean, have you heard of this name Yahweh being used as like the friendship name? Like, God wants to be your friend. His name is Yahweh. Or is that not a fair statement or question to ask? I mean, because God is so much bigger, right, than a friend. He's our friend. Jesus calls us his friend. But the name Yahweh, I guess, where's the relationship? Should it be that personal? That we can, like, yo, Yahweh is my homeboy? Or, like, is Yahweh the supreme, like, bow down before Yahweh? Like, where's the line of relationship with that name?
Yeah. No, that's a good question. Yeah, so, like, when you talk about, like, God is our friend, or when Jesus says, and I call you friends, it's interesting that Jesus calls us friends, but you never see the disciples calling Jesus a friend. Mm. In other words, he who is greater can befriend us, but we are out of line to assume that we can be friends with one who is greater.
Interesting.
So it goes from top down, doesn't necessarily go from, the lesser to the greater. So when Yahweh comes to Moses and says, this is my name, my personal name, it's a name by which you can call me, it's a name to relate to. So I have a lot of titles, names. I mean, I can get super formal. We could say, Dr. Slippy or Mr. Slippy if, like the kid's knocking on my door, the Boy Scout to sell me, something, call me Mr. Slippy, right? That's, or, we can be super formal, or we can be super informal, like pal and buddy. I have friends that just, and we got all kinds of weird nicknames. So Puma kind of spawned out of relationship with the students that I had. And with me and them, it became kind of our personal related name. It's not so familiar or so buddy-buddy that it's super flippant and informal, but it's not so lofty that's not out of touch or out of reach or so formal that there's this huge relational distance. God is always to be feared, right? So Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord, Yahweh. So whenever you read the Old Testament, especially in our English Bibles, and you read capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is always a translation of this word, Yahweh.
Okay, so that's always Yahweh.
That's always Yahweh. The capital L, capital, all caps, capital L-O-R-D, is the translation of this word, Yahweh. So Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Mm. And so it is personal and relational, but we are not the same. So when you have this kind of buddy-buddy type idea, it is, I think, lowering Yahweh in a way that he wasn't meant to be lowered. God is always going to be supreme. And this is what's so amazing. The infinite God who is transcendent and is so beyond us that even talking about him, we can't even talk about him without, in a sense, lowering or diminishing him a little bit, because we can only talk about him with things that are created or things that we know. We can't actually think beyond what we can see or know. And this same God is the same God who comes to us that we can have a relationship with, like Isaiah 40. Why do you say, I don't care about you? Why do you say, I'm not concerned about you? Do you not know? Have you not heard? I am the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. I initiate and want and have made a way for my special creation, mankind, to have a relationship with me, the eternal living God. And so, so I resist this whole buddy-buddy notion. We can relate to him in a real meaningful way and have a really, an intimate relationship that is built upon trust, built upon truth. But it's not like we are on the same plane.
Okay, I see. So what I hear is like that Yahweh, he moves our direction, right? He wants to be intimate with us and wants to be, He wants us to be his people and for him to be our God. But he is not demeaning or giving me or us the opportunity to defame him by treating him as equals. We're not peers, but God does move down to us. He comes our direction. It would be arrogant to try to pull God to our level, but he chooses to come down to us. And the name is, from what I understand, Yahweh is reaching out to be known by us, and he already knows us. He wants to be known by us. It's an invitation, like you said, of relationship.
So names do communicate information,
mm-hmm.
right? Communicate information attributes. Names, especially personal names, are also relational in nature. And when Yahweh comes, he has already initiated the relationship with the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they didn't know who he was.
Right.
And now, as they are being formed into a nation, actual distinct group of people, just like all the other nations of the earth, where God is going to take them from Egypt to the promised land, where they are going to live as the people of God, who have a God of the people, just like all the other nations. But this is who he is, and it was this personal, relational name of Yahweh that he gave to his people, by which they are to know him by, is that covenant relationship. It was, it could say, kind of a familial type name. When you say buddy, kind of it's relational. It is relational in nature, that God is able to be related to, which is really just that in itself is mind-blowing,
mm-hmm.
that the uncaused, uncreated God can be related to in a meaningful, real way. Which goes back to kind of our theme verse, Psalm 9:10. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, there it is, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, for you, Yahweh, have never forsaken those who seek you. And so it was the beginning of that trust relationship with his people. So,
yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, it's we're very blessed to have Yahweh share his name with us to bring us into that relationship. It's good. All right. Well, thank you again for sharing. Thank you for joining us. If you have any questions, we're going to go through some more names of God as this series continues. But yeah, feel free to shoot us a question, whether it's about our content or even just about God, the Bible, whatever, culture. Again, life, Jesus, and everything in between. Or was it it's Jesus, life, and everything in between. Feel free to email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks.